Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'm not going to read all the verses that we read on our last meeting. To go over a few things as you turn to Deuteronomy. You know, God have assigned us to start this meeting. I didn't know what it was. And then he says it's a prosperity revival. That he wants the body of Christ actually to take back what the devil has stolen from them. And therefore we are aiming to follow his instruction in teaching night after night on prosperity. Prosperity is the will of God for his children. And we talked last night about God give the seed and the power for you to get the wealth. We've talked about right and wrong thinking about money. Now, tonight, we're going to read some other scripture, but tonight, I'm instructed by the Lord how to deal with your creditors and different debts and bills that you might have incurred over the years. And we're going to talk about tonight, yield what you have to God, and he will multiply. Say that with me. Yield what you have to God, and he will multiply. I like that. Say it again. Yield what you have to God, and he will multiply. Now, in our golden text in the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy, you know, he talked about bringing us into a good land, a land where there will be no scarceness, and a land there will be no lack. We talked about that last night. But I want to focus on the 13th verse tonight. Or even reading the 12th verse. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses, and dwell therein, and when thy herd and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied. Yeah. Multiplied. Three times in that verse, the word multiplied is used. You see that?
Yes, sir.
And then notice here in our golden text, in the verse 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. See, he wants you to remember him after things multiply.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or he can't permit things to multiply. God is not going to help you to get away from him.
Amen.
So if he see where prosperity going to change you, change your love and your submission to him and his will, he will not permit you to have it.
Amen.
You remember we reading here in the second verse of this chapter, thou shalt remember all the ways which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee. To be prosper, you need to be humble.
Yes, sir.
Then the Lord said he wanted to not only humble us, he wasn't only humbling Israel, but I see revelation from here. And he wanted to prove them. He said in that second verse, he had to humble them and prove them. And then the Lord, in order for you to go to the places that the Lord really wants you to go, the Lord not holding nothing back from you, you're holding it back from yourself.
Right.
In order to go to the place he wants you to go, he got to know what's in thine heart. What's your plan after I bless you?
Yeah.
What you going to do with it? And I told you, most people are robbed because of a dime.
Yes, sir.
Marvelous revelation of will a man rob God? Marvelous to come to the truth that we can't really rob God.
Yes,
you can't rob somebody who say in the 24th Psalm, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell in it. You can't rob somebody who says, I'm the creator of heaven and earth, and somebody who says, all the silver and all the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine.
Yes,
you can't really rob somebody who, if nothing do exist, he creates it.
Yeah.
You know, he's Elohim. He's the creator. So we have to see another, are we really robbing God of finances by not tithing? Is it really going to cause God program to shut down? No, 1,000 times no. What he's talking about is, turn to the 35th Psalm, I'll show you.
Yeah.
Did we read that 18th verse yet? I started reading and didn't finish it. Wait a minute, don't turn from it, because I need to. Did I read that whole verse? No, I need to read that whole verse before we turn. But thou shalt remember the Lord. Verse 18 of the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy now. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee. 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 Remember him, for it is he that giveth thee. For it is he that giveth thee. My goodness. Power. Ability. Know-how. For what? To get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swear unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Now turn to the 35th Psalm, and let me go over again how this revival started. God gave me two prophetical words. Money cometh. Right after I had said, by listening at another fella and agreeing with him, money really goes. And when I got in the car, my car, after making that statement, God, I don't know if he rebuked me or he questioned my integrity, I guess you would say. I knew he was in the car. See, when God in your car is just like another passenger, you know he's there. And, I knew he was with me when I went to the store, but he manifested himself more when I went back to that car. And he said, the Lord said, Sam Voice didn't call me to preach. Sam Voice told me to quit my job. Sam Voice told me to come and take this church. He said, money really go. Well, I didn't let him get goers out. By the time goers, go, by the time he said go, the first part of goeth, two words come running out of my spirit with power that I knew it wasn't from my mind. Words that were deposited into me by the Holy Ghost. Money cometh. And I sat there, you know, when you get in the presence of God, a certain fear come on you. Reverential fear, you know. And I said it again. I said, money cometh. And I said it a third time, and it became a revelation to me. And then he said to me, money cometh mean money will continuously come to you. Then he explained to me to keep, there's a gauge or a governor on the blessings of God. He says, it is not for covetous reason. Me and my four and no more. Or to be a show off. It's not for that. He said, it is for money cometh for covenant reason. Covenant that I've cut with Abraham. You are Abraham's seed. I wanted my servant blessed. Bless God, you know I want my sons and daughters blessed. Yeah. The body of Christ, we read in 1 Samuel, even before reading the 35th Psalm, I go back to these verses because it's very important for us to understand about debt, distress, and discontentment. In 1 Samuel, turn there, we got new faces tonight. 1 Samuel, chapter 22, isn't it? Yeah, verse 2. You see within the context of this verse, it talked about some men, 400 men, who gathered themselves around David, but it told the condition of those men. And I think that condition is a revelation or a description of three quarters or more of the body of Christ. Now we got false prosperity and false front and false blessings as it is by cars and houses and certain garments we wear. And certain type of little rings we wear, fooling, trying to fool somebody else. But I mean, really, you're only fooling yourself. Because if you fake that you have something, you'll never arrive to it. You'll even fool yourself not to go after it because you're constantly lying to yourself. You know, lying is not, lying is against the Bible. But most believers, the Spirit of God revealed to me, and I've seen it down through these 20 years, I was one myself for 10 or 12 years until I got a hold of the truth and I got on a prosperity trail. I'm telling you, I got on a prosperity trail. I said, if anybody's going to have it, I'm going to have it. God want us to have it. Want us to be a blessing. Are you out there? You're going home. Yeah. Notice in that second verse you see people in debt, distress, and debt brings distress.
Yeah.
Debt brings stress too and pressure.
Yeah.
Debt brings arguments.
Yeah.
Confusion.
Yeah.
Huh? Contrariness.
Yeah.
Debt bring all that. All evil work debt bring. You know. When you're in debt and you can't pay your bills, I mean, you understand? Because I'm going to talk about borrowing tonight. God is not against borrowing. Not borrowing within itself. God is against overborrowing. So like, say for instance, you borrowing money to pay somebody else you can't pay. God against that because you're getting further deeper and deeper in debt.
Yeah.
All right? But God is not against borrowing. Some people pay for everything they get cash. Well, that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. But you cannot condemn somebody for borrowing because the Bible talks about borrowing. See, you can't condemn that. And I heard one minister said it this way. You really don't owe them if you pay it on time. That contract says, if I pay it on the 15th, leave me alone. See, and a creditor will never bother you. If the note due on the 15th and you pay it on the 13th every time, you'll never hear from that creditor. Why we hear from them? Why do them people write us and call us? Is just dirty people like that? No. They're writing and see if you have forgotten. No creditor never wrote you. Listen, no creditor never wrote you. It's a rare occasion asking you for their money if you meet in the contract. They won't write you. You'll never hear from them. I've paid for things, you know, and never heard from the people. Never heard nothing from them till the last note. If you paid it on time, they won't bother you because you're keeping up your contract. Amen?
Amen.
But I wasn't telling you that debt, and I mean the body of Christ, we confessing now. A lot of confessing going on. And a lot of, you know, we don't want, don't say I'm broke. Don't say I don't have, don't say this, don't say that. Well, that don't make you broke. You're broke already. But you need to learn the principles whereby you can come out of that situation, come out of debt, come out of distress, come out of discontentment. Amen?
Amen.
And be able to live a life, an abundant life,
yeah,
like God has provided for us through the Lord Jesus Christ and through many examples. So I began to tell you, and I'm going to show you some scriptures about yielding to God what you have. It's not, you start where you are. Someone concerned about tithing, and they say, well, what I do? Start where you are. Forget about it. You missed it. Now go on where you are. God will work with you. But start tithing, because if you don't tithe, you're under the world system, and you're going to suffer. Now, will a man rob God? Let's read this in the 35th Psalm. This revelation need to be repeated over and over again. It says in the 27th verse of Psalm 35, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. I wonder if tithing favors God's righteous cause. I wonder, do God want his churches where you go and be served to have enough natural stuff to have pipeline that church may convey the supernatural into the natural realm of the earth and change the life of people? I wonder if that's God's favor, that's God's call. That favor my righteous cause. Yeah, let them say continuously, let the Lord be magnified. Notice this, which has pleasure. What, have what?
Pleasure.
What?
Pleasure.
Pleasure in the what?
Prosperity.
Poverty.
Prosperity.
Poverty.
Prosperity.
Poorness.
Prosperity.
Prosperity of his servant. God has pleasure. When you rob God of that dime and do not honor the Lord with the first of your increase, you rob him of the pleasure of meeting all your needs and your desire. He can't do it if you don't get in on his system. That's why he called his revival, to get you in on the system. Now, let's look into this. Let's look back at Haggai. Let's look back there. Just look at old Haggai. And because we want to reiterate some things in that first chapter, we want to reiterate some things to show you what life is without being in God's financial program. And we want you to come to the aspect where you yield what you have to God and He will multiply. But if you just throw it away in the world system and don't yield none to God, you don't have no seed in the ground. He can't multiply it for you. God want to give you divine finances. And God want to work on your financial portfolio. And He want to set it up for you. And He wants you to be able to write at the end of every page, I have more than enough. That's a Holy Ghost portfolio. Now, notice here in Haggai, it says in the sixth verse, or in the fifth verse, now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts. Consider your ways. Y'all better consider your ways back there. Consider your ways. You have sown much. This can't be to God. You have sown much and bring in little. That can't be. He can't be talking about sowing much to God and bringing in little. How many believe he's talking about you giving a lot to God there? Huh? Can you see sowing much to God and bringing in little? Huh? It's impossible. You can sow little to God and bring in much. So he says, you have sown much to the world and to his system and bring in little. Ye eat, but you have not enough. Ye drink, but you're not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there's none warm. You're not satisfied. And he that earn his wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. Hey, say it again. Consider your way. You notice he said it on both sides? What he said? Consider your ways. In other words, you're wasting your time. With this world system, I don't care if you got four jobs. You're wasting your time. You're never going to get ahead. If you get ahead, the enemy going to put some sickness or something on you because you're out of the will of God. Even, see, tithing, lack of tithing can cause you to be sick. You can't fully claim your healing if you're not a tither. You don't have right to God's best because you don't trust Him. Now, that's getting a little heavy hangover over here. What do tithing have to do with my healing? Well, being in the will of God. Being able to shake your finger in Satan's face and tell him, Satan, I'm in the complete will of God. You take your stinky hand off of me. I'm walking with God. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now, you can't do that with full confidence if Satan, see, Satan like to have something hanging over your head. You ever had people want something that you want to have something on you? See, if they have something over you, they can control you. You let a parishioner get something on a preacher they don't like. They clear their throat. Rip. He got the bag back because they threatened to tell it, you see. Satan like that. Satan, when you go to asking God for something, Satan clears throat. And God must hear him because he got you financially. Because you have not obeyed God. Satan can say to God, if you're not a tither, listen to me well. Satan can say to God, you can't do that for him. And God's hand is tied behind him. And you rob him of his good pleasure, what he want to do for you. Are you listening to me? My goodness. My goodness. Now, turn to Isaiah 1. Isaiah chapter 1. Familiar verse, but it's right, it's good for this spot here. Verse 19. If ye be willing and obedient, what he said? You shall eat the good of the land. Well, the good of the land, I believe, is all your needs being met. I believe the good of the land is not have the land a bit worrying about how you're going to make it. I believe God, when God talk about the good of the land, he's talking about the best.
Yes.
You?
Yes.
The most detrimental thing to the believer's prosperity is not yielding everything to God. He that gives shall more be given. Now, I want to show you, begin showing you how God deal with creditors. When you get in his divine plan, how he will deal with creditors for you. Turn to 2 Kings. 2 Kings. Oh, hallelujah. Say this with me, I'll never be broke.
I'll never be broke.
Another day in my life.
Another day in my life.
Hallelujah. I want to tell you, this is what I believe that you need to know. Let God deal with your creditors, and you go ahead on and do what you're supposed to do. And he'll give you wisdom on how to deal with it. In 2 Kings, chapter 4. Now we're talking about, I want to make sure you get this. Yield what you have to God and he will multiply. Now there was a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the son of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. He did what was right. And who?
Creditors.
Creditors. Underline that. There's creditors in the Bible there. You know who the creditor is, that's the person you owe.
Yeah.
And the creditors has come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Now, the only reason that creditor came is she wasn't able to pay her bill. Huh? Is that you? My goodness, is that you? Listen to me, listen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? He questioned her. What you want me to do about it? How can I help you? Tell me, what hast thou in thine house? Now remember, we're talking about yielding what you have to God and he'll multiply. It's not how much you have right now, you see. It's not. See, if you turn your heart toward God, you've already missed it. If you turn your heart to God and say, this is where I am now. But I want to do what's right. He's such a good, gracious, forgiving, loving, merciful Father that he'll take you from where you are and carry you how high you want to go. Isn't it good to serve a God like that? He's not out to get you. The only thing God out to get you is bliss. Get you out of the crack. Get you on top of the situation. Amen?
Amen.
We serve a good God.
Yes.
No, we're not here to condemn you, but we're here to make reality of what's happening in your life. This God said in the deep south, there's a poverty spirit over the deep south. There's a spirit that have tried to hold us in bondage and hold us in shortage. And the only thing going to whip that thing is the word of God and the anointing.
Yes.
Destroy that spirit. Run that spirit out of our state.
Yes.
Now remember, yield whatever you have to God and he'll multiply. Remember that thought. Yield whatever you have to God and he will multiply. Remember that thought. Yield whatever you have to God and he will multiply. Notice he ain't talking about how much. Just yield what you have.
Amen.
All right. And Elijah said unto her, what? Verse 2. Shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save or except a pot of oil. All I got is a pot of oil. With God, a pot of oil is enough. Is enough. See, here's the revelation that you need to see. You need something to start it off with. The process has to be initiated on earth so heaven can come in. Any little crack that you present to God for blessing, he's going to get it to you. So it's not that she had a big pot of oil and some other thing, but the prophet said, listen, I know God. Give me something to work with. Give me something to argue your case with. You know, members talk to me about financial problems. That's what I want to say to them. Give me something to argue your case with. I mean, what have you been doing in the kingdom business? What's the last gift you give toward God's work? Let me argue your case. If that member say, I'm a tither, I have the right as the pastor to look God in the face and say, what you doing up there? What kind of assignment have you given me down here by myself and told me to be under shepherd and hear this person doing what they're supposed to do and you letting them down? I can argue your case. But your case can't be argued if you're robbing God. Actually, you're healing the same way. You know, we get in and fight anyway. We fight. But I mean, if you're not in the will of God, Satan's gonna raise some sand, man. He's gonna make some noise. He look, God. And see, God can't violate his own covenant. Now, there's such a thing as prosperity, and there's such a thing as successful prosperity. Money is not the only mean to prosperity, but the reason I'm talking about it, we've been so broke. Money is a part of it. We got the confession and the smiles and all that stuff, but we need some money to back up these confession and smile. You know, so that's why I'm talking about money. This is not a grace, this is not a prayer revival. The Lord says it's a money revival. And those people who I see some same face, you sticking with this revival, I'm telling you, you're coming out. Because you're going to get the revelation of the thing. And once you get the revelation of this thing, your debt in trouble days are over. So she said, all I have is a little pot of oil. Now here's another argument that needs to be brought up. People don't believe in prophets. I don't believe he was only talking about prophet. There's a pastor and his wife and pastors there. I don't believe he's only talking about prophet. I believe he's talking about the fivefold ministry gift. People don't believe in pastors. They don't believe in trusting pastors. If they would trust pastors, if my member would trust me, they ought to leave you untied tomorrow. Now, people say, I believe God. Well, God said in 2 Chronicles 20:20, you're only established when you believe me. I can prove it from the Bible. That man died and went to hell in the 16th chapter of Luke. And hell was so hot. He thought of his five brothers was living just like him. And he asked Abraham, he was in Abraham, he was around Abraham, he asked Abraham, I almost say he was in the bosom, but he wasn't in the bosom. The other man was in the bosom. But he asked to send back to his, tell his five brothers, don't come down here. Boy, hell of a hot place. I'm not going. And the Lord said to him, if they don't hear my prophets, they won't even hear a man from the dead. I've sent my prophet to talk to him. And then there in that battle of Jehoshaphat, you know, he said in that 20th verse, believe in the Lord, you shall be established, and believe his prophet, and you shall prosper. That's another trick the enemy has played on the church, to not believe in men and women of God and have irreverent about it, no respect, and then God won't let them receive from them. You can't receive from somebody you don't respect. Look at the confidence. Oh, my glory to God. Look at the confidence this widow have in the man of God. She told him all her business. And she said, look, she ain't putting no front on. I don't have nothing but the Lord in here. And this man of God, listen, he give her instruction. And sometimes instruction will embarrass you if you're not really submitted. You know, he told her, go borrow. Then he said, now see, that's why I know borrowing is not all the way wrong. Because God wouldn't have told a prophet to tell her go borrow if it was wrong. Go borrow the vessels. Then he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. Now, here's where you come in, you believe in the prophet and believe a man or a woman of God. I don't need no vessel. I need all. That's one thing about them old preachers. They always tell you something silly to do. I ain't going to get no vessel. I'm my own woman. I ain't going to borrow nobody's stuff no way. Hello. Let's see what she did. Notice verse 3. If you're willing and obedient, what did he say? Notice verse 3. Then he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy son, and shall pour out into all those vessels. And thou shalt set aside that which is full. Oh, listen to that man of God talk, man. Glory to God. That boy got connection with heaven. So she went from him and did exactly what he told her to do. And shut the door upon her and upon her son, who brought the vessels to her. And she poured out. Look, she followed the instruction down to her teeth. I'm telling you, if you become a tithe and a giver of your finances to the kingdom of God, that we can get this gospel, evangelize this world, and get the lost saved, and you're in a good church where the gospel is being taught, and you tithe, there's no way God will not pour his blessing out on you. You can't have prosperity without following the guideline. Amen?
Amen.
I'm just going to flatfoot stand here and teach you tonight. Let the Holy Ghost have free code. Amen? Now notice here. You can't do what you want to do when you want God to bless you. You got to follow his plan. So this woman, listen, notice what she did now. And I got a whole lot more scripture we got to go over. That's why. He says, she went from him, verse 5, just what he did, and shut the door upon her and upon her son, who brought the vessel to her, and she poured out, and it came to pass. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it came to pass. And it came to pass. When the vessels were full, well, wait a minute now, wait a minute. When the vessels were full, wait a minute now. Let's go back to verse 1 here. About when the vessels was full. Let's go back to verse 2. And Elijah said to her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? She said, thine handmaid has not anything in the house save a pot of oil. But here it said in this verse, in the 6th verse, and it came to pass, when the vessels, that's the one she borrowed, were full, that she said unto her son, let me mention this subject again to you. Yield what you have to God. And he'll multiply. You got your shouting clothes on? Listen. And it came to pass, verse 6, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, boy, go get me something else here. This stuff's still coming out. Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, all right, here it is, go. Sell the oil and pay thy debt. Oh man, I wish I could say that to you. I wish I could say that to you tonight. Sell all and pay thy debt. That's what I've been trying to work on these nights we've been going through this prosperity revival, to get you in a position where you can sell all and go pay your debts. Go home happy and free. And live thou and thy children off the rest. Go ahead on now and live. You've made connection with heaven. You followed instruction. You did what the Lord told you to do. Now I'm going to bring you out of debt. And then she had some leftover. Yeah. God always give plenty of land, yeah. God don't play. I mean, when God go to point, I tell you, I get a check every 4.5 days. But it's been every day for a few days. No, for 7 days, at least 7 or 8 days. Check come in the mail today from a preacher. Say, bless you. I said, thank you. See? Now, I don't have to tell you my personal thing, but I'm telling you because God raised me up for this hour. Out in the desert, Darrow. If God can bless you in Darrow, he can bless you anywhere. If God can bless a minister in Darrow, that's what I tell them boys be flying in here from them state crying. I say, boy, I'll slap you side your head. You up there with all them folks there, and God, you can't, I'm too far gone to tell me this gospel don't work. If it work here in Darrow and this church is prospering, if you in Ohio, it ought to work. You in California with all them folks, it ought to work. He got the same testimony. Down in Johnburg, I'm calling it right. Middle of nowhere. They come out of the Otterbox church. Their God's father and mother came down and I read a letter from them. And it was giving them trouble by getting a billet. And you know Sarah Otterbox, she kind of smart at the mouth. That's just the way she is. That's their mother and father. Sarah said, go, I'm gonna check with my lawyer and go, we'll buy the whole block. And then y'all put y'all billet in there. And they're able to buy it. That's their son and daughter, you see. Oh my God, when you got sons and daughters, leave right. Boy, you can take care of them. It's just like the father. It give a father in the gospel good pleasure to be able to come tell his son, I'll buy the whole block for you. You preaching this gospel. Yeah. So, here is the hammer on the head of the nail. I don't have much in your life. Be faithful and give it unto God and he'll turn it into much. Amen. Get under God's divine program. You got your shouting clothes on?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're going to walk through this thing a little tonight because I'm still going to teach more than an hour tonight. Crowd don't bother me. Sometimes you in revivals like this, people get short-winded. I've been around the prophet. That's why the God told me to follow the prophet. I followed Brother Hagin real closely, and I see sometimes the meeting just drop off. People get tired. They get tired. The old Pentecostals used to come night and day. They come in them wagon and camp out and say, all right, preacher, you preach till you get tired, and we'll go home when you get tired. See? So I want to build that in this area, that people have the ability for the long ride. Because I bring Kenneth Hagin down here, and he stayed 3 weeks. I don't want to be here by myself the last week. Y'all are all tired, can't come no more. So I'm training y'all. I know what the Lord doing. He's training you for long meeting. Just put everything on the side. Cut that grass later. Just then, you get it? See? Get your hair fixed later. You get it? Keep rolling. Slick it back. Put a rag on it. Let's go. Mercy. Ain't nobody out there looking to see how pretty you are. We're trying to get a hold of this word. Hallelujah. Turn to 1 Kings. Now this one really vivid here. If I didn't get you, we didn't get you, if the Holy Ghost didn't get you in 2 Kings, he sure enough gonna get you in 1 Kings. 1 Kings 17. Man, if that story about that widow that didn't get you, tune in to how God worked. And it reveals to you, you have to believe in the work of God. You know, people say, well, I ain't giving my tithe. I don't know what they're doing. That's not your business what they're doing. Your business is to give your tithe and expect God to bless you from your tithe. And if something's going wrong, God will handle it. But that can't rob you of your blessing. Unless you see some false thing going on, then you need to check it and get you another church. You know what I'm saying? But your suspicion is not good enough. Because suspicions come from the devil. Hallelujah. You don't ever want your preacher broke. See that he had money in his pocket. You don't want your preacher broke. That's a curse to have your preacher broke. I'm telling you. I used to get so mad. My old pastor, they just ride him and use him. And then he come up and give him $1,000 and they want him to get on the floor and roll for it. And they all was in debt up to their neck because they didn't have the system working and they wasn't doing what God told them to do. And they're still in debt. And they still don't know about the good life. They don't know. They can't go nowhere. They take money to go. Religious folks are in trouble. All right, in 1 Kings 17. Well, you just want to say amen or oh me. I'm telling the truth. Now, notice this. In verse 8, what's the subject? Yield what you have to God. We're talking prosperity here now. Yield what you have to God, and God will bring you out, bring you up, and let you in. Word of God, and put you on a solid place financially. God is concerned about your money. He's concerned about your condition financially because you are his sons and daughters and he has it and he wants you to have it. Now you know many preachers wouldn't preach like this. See, the Reverend think they got to hide everything. Man, you can't let them people know you blessed. You crazy? Oh, I'm not going to hide it. I am blessed. If the Lord blessed me, them people didn't bless me. He said, I'd get from out of men's bosom for you. Amen. He'll fry that bosom up if you don't get it out. If it's mine, that bosom will catch a fire. You'll be all mixed up trying to watch TV and think you're listening at the radio. Yeah, if it's mine. Same if I got something for you, it'd be the same way. You can't be happy. If God got an assignment for you, you don't do it. You got the shouting clothes on?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm glad, you know. I'm glad certain clubs, you got to have so much to get in. You know, you got to have $1,500 to get in. This is the $1,500 club or the $1,000 club. No, this is not a club, but you can get in with what you have. Yeah, and he'll bring you. I tell you, God will bring you. Look at me. God will bring you. He'll bring you to solid places. Put you in a solid condition. You're supposed to have people wondering what you're doing. If you don't have them wondering yet, you're not blessed yet. Wonder what a... Trying to figure it out. What in the world are they doing? Yeah, we got inside information. All of God's children should have the world children on a wonder. Tempting the crossover. You know, say, man, bless God. If that God is that good, you know, my God, I want him too. We ought to be good advertisement for the kingdom of God. Amen. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. That old poverty spirit that came on the church. You know, you'd be broke and humble. And God knows you're real spiritual. Well, I say you're stupid. All the Lord had provided for in all the scriptures, he talk about finances, what he wanted his children to have, and yet you talking about you humble because you're broke, you're stupid, you haven't read the Bible. The Bible said, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. The Bible said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The Bible said, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Well, I always thought that table was in heaven. But it come to my utter amazement. When the revelation comes, I will not have no enemies in heaven. So he's talking about preparing a table for me right here on earth in the presence of the devil, the demon, and worldly folks. I hear the Spirit of God saying tonight, come on to the table and dine with me. Get on away from that pork and bean table. Come on to the table where the real butter is. I'd rather be eating this substitute butter. On his table is real butter. You following my illustration? Oh, my. Oh, sometimes when you get to the table, you don't know how to act, you know. They got someone there, you knock something over, you know. Oh, my God, you know. The Lord said, let it fall over. I got some more. Top. The body of Christ. We've been eating at the wrong table. We've been eating at the enemy table. And he's holding it back from us. No more bondage. No more bondage. Oh, no more bondage in my finances. I tell you, between 9 and next week, I'm gonna walk you through this thing. Step by step. We hitting hurdles every night. You just listen. You've been here every night. You know we've been hitting something every night. We're hitting hurdles. You know, the Spirit of God just brought up and he said to me, tell them that I prepare a table for them in the presence of their enemies. And whatever you need, whatever you desire, your little heart is not big enough to think of something God don't have for you. Your heart is not big enough to think about something that God can't get for you. I mean, just think big as you want. When you get in the will of God, just think big. Sit down on your dining room chair and just think big and see yourself with it. And the Father will see to it that you get it. Because you see, you his daughter and you follow his orders. And the all will stay. Listen, the devil lied to us, Doug. He lied to the church. He lied to the preacher. He lied to the organization about God. God, listen, God get loose when you get in his will. I mean, he's just like, look, he's no different than any other father. You know, Father, God is a better father than you, Doug. He's a better father than me. Our children, my boy, cut the grass, wash my car. Get my suit out, iron my suit, and then get to do everything that his mama tell him to do. Listen, and I got some money. And he about to go out and take this girl out. No problem. How much you need? What you think about God? We follow his orders, yeah. Cut the grass, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, and iron his suit like he tell us to do. Do it, God. And when we get ready to go, I said, listen, that's my daughter there, let her have it. You getting it?
Yes.
You can't think of nothing too big for your God to get to you. I dare you try. I mean, I've thought of things. I told you, I thought of a Rolex watch. Just thought of it. Didn't just thought of it. Didn't mention it. Got it. President. Top of the line. Got it. Just thought about it. God put another man out. Say, I believe you need to have a Rolex watch. I said, well, yeah. Men listen to God. They got people listen to God. You see, you go to thinking and God will get somebody to listen to him. You can't be covetous now. You can't be just after thing. See, God been preparing me for this for years. And see, I'm bold enough to not go running hide the little things that I have. Amen. In the aspect from the body of Christ. I don't want to hide nothing from you. That's why I didn't build my house behind no gate where you got to have a card to come through to see it. I built it out in the open. Let everybody pass by and see it and get blessed. Yes. Amen. Don't get quiet on me now. No, you can build in some of them. I could have went out there to a country club and got it in. You can't even see the thing. How are you going to bless anybody back up in that hole? I'm putting God on display. Me, I'm out in the open. Preachers are hiding. No, you don't have to hide. If God bless you, man, come out and say, hey! You're going to get some flack and slack if you build it back in the jungle. Somebody will come out there and find you. You just about go ahead and bless God. I know I'm on tape, but I have a lawyer that lives next to me. You know, he constantly, he don't know what's going on. You know, lawyers supposed to be big boys. He don't know what's going on. I mean, come out in the yard, I come out in the yard. he turn his sprinkler on, I turn mine on. Yeah, we be out there sprinkling. He go for a walk, I put on my shoes, I go for a walk. Then I go over there every now and then, I say, you know, the Lord good. So you need to come on. I say, I have an integrated church. You need to come on out there, man, and hear what's happening. You know, and boy, he's confused. I got the judge thinking hard. The judge, he's thinking real hard. Yeah. Judge stay right up the street. It's the Lord doing it. The Lord want to show himself strong. And if the Lord can get you to do, now Janet going to make it. Janet Knox, that girl going to make it. She got her mind made up. Ain't nobody going to stop Janet. Not even the devil himself. Because our mind made up. See, when you get your mind made up, get socketed into this thing, get your mind made up, it might take a while for God to get you where you're going. But I tell you what, he's setting it up all the time for you. No folks sitting by there, you're going to be back there in the dust. Because God gonna do that thing. God do it for people who faith for time. Amen?
Amen.
All right. I've been going an hour. And you know, I've been preaching 2 hours, sometimes 2 hours a night. But you know, I feel like I'm 16. I really do. The Lord preserve me. I'll be down here. My secretary tell you, I'll be down here to the office making calls. I went out to lunch with a pastor the other day during the day. I just go in the evening and try to lay down about a half hour, even though I don't sleep. I learned that from an elder preacher. Lay down about a half hour just to get myself a little refreshed. Then come on back out and minister. I've got to go all next week, 2 times Sunday, going Saturday night. We're not going to go Sunday night. We're going to go 2 times Sunday morning, but I'm coming right back here Monday morning, Monday night, Tuesday morning, Tuesday night. Refresh. Amen. Now I called my staff in the office today, and I told my staff, you need to know this. I told my staff, now don't come here with no contrary stuff. Y'all smile. When I come around y'all, I have a big smile and let love come out of you, because I got a big revival going on here. I don't need no disturbance. Y'all with me or against me? That's what I want to tell my staff. So we got all that straight. Now my staff just smiling. I mean, everybody. We'll discuss all the other stuff later. See? I want to stay in the flow, you see, you know. So they're out there to protect me. My wife protecting me, my children protecting me. Keep me in the flow. Keep me not being grieved. So I can come out here fresh and anointed. Not contrary and cutting your head all up, you know. Nobody won't be cut up all on, you know. All right, if you haven't found 1 Kings yet, probably you won't find it. So we're going to go on, just listen. In the 8th verse of the 17th chapter, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, what belongeth to Zidon, and dwell therein. Behold, now notice this, Clad. Behold, and let me say this, let me prelude this with something. Sometime, now listen, most of the time, God tells you to do something or to release something because He's trying to get something better to you. Now, let me say it over again so you can get that down. So next time that come up, you'll know what to do. Most of the time, when God is telling you to release something, He want to give you something better. But you got to give Him something to work with. And the reason a lot of times we don't get the better thing because we're so enthused over the thing we have. You got that? Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. That is what he told the prophet. I've commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. Now notice this real closely. And he called to her. The prophet called to the widow woman and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Not an average portion. Well, I say, preacher, get it yourself. See, another thing I'm trying to bring back into the body of Christ, see, I don't want nobody to bow down to me as an individual, but there's a call. When there's a call on a person's life, if you're going to receive the full benefit, you have to have a certain respect for the call. I'm not talking about Leroy now. I'm talking about the call. You got the people who have respect for the call are going to receive more. I'm telling you right now, they're going to receive more. That's an irreverence for ministers. I remember Umpsa Bond used to be my wife's pastor. He was a Baptist, old Baptist minister. What his name is? He wasn't your pastor, was he? Before your time? Simon Bond. Well, during that time, he was an old Baptist minister, and they didn't know as much as we know about the letter, but there was a certain dignity about him, and people had a certain respect. They won't mess up while you, man, you come real. They straighten up. Amen. See? But now, hey, boy. You know, they say, hey, boy. You know, that's irreverent. Well, that's certain people I play around with, like old Charles Mitchell. He's my best buddy. And me and him laugh and talk, but Charles switched gears in a split of a second. He'll go from that buddy deal, as pastor, whoa. He know how to ship, see? And he said, well, so much for that. I don't know if y'all getting it or not. Y'all preachers know what I'm talking about. Yeah, when you have respect. respect. And so God assigned me that to bring reverence back so that people can really get their blessing. So I may sound sometimes like I'm trying to get something to happen to me, you know, you follow what I'm saying? But I'm at peace with God. I can live with it just like it is. But I know what's in store for you all. So I have to sacrifice myself and put my reputation or my person on the line to seem like I'm trying to get something else happening. And it doesn't matter to me. I want you to have it. You follow what I'm saying? So that's why I teach like I'm teaching. I thank God have called me here for this hour, this generation, this time, and have put me in a position to do this. Not only in Louisiana, but in the United States of America. Almost every pulpit in the United States of America that is in the Word of Faith is open to me right now. I can leave this church tomorrow and preach till I go home to Jesus and have enough money to sustain me and my family. I can do it. So God has opened the door. You see what I'm saying? And so I'm going and preach this gospel, this kind of gospel. Now, I said all this to say this. He told her, listen. Fetch me. You with me?
Yes, sir.
I pray thee a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, she never asked a question. All right. I'll get you the water. Now, sometimes God tell you one thing to do. That's the first test. And sometimes you pass that test. But in order to get you to the prosperity he wants you to get to, he got to give you sometimes a series of tests.
Yeah.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But you're going to see it in this scripture. You're going to see it in this scripture. The girls, I'll go get the water. Water! $10! Ten. You only want a $10. Need $1,000 a person. Well, now that's another horse of another color there now. This thing seemed like not a revelation to me anymore. I got to dig a little deep. You follow me? How many see it? If you're going to see it right here, watch. Watch. She took off at the water. That's just like people who start with a revival like this and come 4 days. They was all right with the water. See? But when you got to really sacrifice and keep coming. And I'm telling you, they're going to miss the very night that person don't be here. They're going to miss. Mr. Revelation, because the Lord told me hold his meeting. All right, she gone after the water. Water didn't shake her. Verse 11, and as she was going to fetch it, fetch what?
The water.
Then the prophet said, now the Lord working through the prophet. Now, you know, he told the prophet, go there, and she was going to sustain him. Now, the Lord is doing twofold thing. He's going to supply what the prophet needs. But he's using the prophet as an agent to get that woman blessed. God always works from both ends. Oh my goodness. God would not dare to let you give without setting you up to receive. God would not dare let you sow without setting up some reaping for you. God would not dare to let you walk in his field and begin to plant without turning his way toward his thing that he have and start creating a harvest for you. But he got to get you to plant first. He got to get you to sow first. He got to get you to give first. Your giving is his ticket to earth. Come on, y'all missed this thing. Glory to God. Your giving gives God permission to speak to somebody's heart to produce exactly what you need. See, now, you have to understand the revelation. God can't come to earth on his own. Somebody through some action has to give him permission to come to do something here on earth. And when you give, you're giving God permission to bless you, and the devil and demon and your neighbor and the person who don't like you can't stop you, because God gonna see to you having it, because you open the door. And when God walked through a door, the blessing coming with it. No weapon form against you when you set up with God. No weapon, no lock can hold in what belongs to you. When God come, he bring the keys with him. Let my child have it. Listen. Let my child have it. They got faith in action. They got deeds in action. Ooh, I wish you had your shouting clothes on tonight, because I'm not through yet. Listen to this. Listen to this. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. The woman going after the water. Then the prophet called to her. Listen. And at verse 11, as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. We went from water to bread, you know. Yeah. We went from $10 to tithe. Yeah. All right. Huh? Yes. I'm going to get in this thing. Bring me a morsel of bread. Now, you're in another category here, not prophet. She said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. What's the subject here? Come on, talk to me. What's the subject? What? Can y'all see it?
Yes.
This is what she said. She said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Prophet said, you don't have to die. You don't have to be in debt. You don't have to go under. Wait a minute, listen to me. You don't have to do that. You don't have to be barely getting by. You don't have to be fighting with that fraudulent check every week. You and the check in a box. Check say, I need to go here. You said, no, you got to go here. One bill stand up on the table and say, please pay me. Would be funny if it wasn't so pathetic. Sitting in a gold mine with no gold. World folks got your money, just good timing, drinking and smoking, buying cigarettes with your money. God, if God placed money on earth for anybody, he placed it for us. And because of us not standing in our rightful place and doing what he told us to do, the enemy running with most of it. You know I'm telling the truth. But Elijah spoke to her, and Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said. But make me thereof a little cake first. Oh Lord, this is getting hard, preacher. First, take care of God's things first. Don't tip God. Don't you come here and give God your leftovers. After you paid J.C. Penney and paid Mason, all of them, then bring God and say, this is all I got, Lord. You know my heart. Yeah, I know your heart. You're a robber. You're a rogue. I know your heart and I can't help you.
Amen.
You got more respect for J.C. Penney than you have for God. I wish I could get this thing over to you. Oh my God, we can preach this gospel in ease. Well, you know, that's why so many chicken died. Chicken was actually paying the Baptist church tithe. Chicken really should be prosperous. And fish? How many know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Glory to God. We're coming out of this stuff, y'all. Yeah. Glory to God. We're going to give God what due God, and God's going to give us what due us and over. We're going in abundance and no lack, with no scarceness. We're going to have more than enough. We're going to be able to bless our neighbor. Hallelujah. We're coming into the land what our Father has provided for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that I come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. Glory to God. He wasn't talking about heaven, because heaven is abundance already. He's talking about you have abundance down here on earth. He means that you have more than enough, more than you need, so you can supply somebody else's need. Well, I don't know if I'll help you, but I preach myself happy. I think about this thing. I think about God's system. I think about, man, you got to trust God. Listen, God, me, God for real. He's for real in finances. God will sustain you if you trust him. Don't wait. Don't be waiting around. Do it now. Listen what happened here. Oh, my God. Elijah said to her, fear not, verse 13, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. First, that preaches something. And I ain't coming to get it. Y'all need some cheeky preachers. You need some preachers who are not afraid of you to talk to you. See, people need to be led. And she said, sometimes I come on with a strong boldness. You know, it's one thing with my wife. She will never tell me nothing about my ministry. She will never pull on me and say, well, Leroy, you went the wrong way this morning, or you were too tough on the people, or something. That 20 years of my ministry, my wife will never touch that, because she knows it's sacred. She knows if I need to be chastised or check on something, God's going to do it. Never. I appreciate that, too. Never. Never. She'll never cross that spiritual line. Now, she'll cross the flesh line. So I heard him trying to get in the spirit. Keep peace at the house. Hallelujah. She go tiptoeing and say, oh, he's no longer my husband now. That's one of the luxuries of being called, you know. Everybody straighten up and I go to praying in tongue, you know, go to raise my hand. They say, well, he with the Lord. They open the door and I'm praying, they'll go right back out. And make me pray much. Bring it to me. And notice the audacity of this man in verse 13, the last statement he made. And after. Everybody say, and after.
After.
I want you to see this. And after. First of all, he said, first. Then he said, you bring it to me. Then he said, after. Now, a person who's not rightly informing spiritual things being a fuss, yeah, now. After make, what do you mean after make for thee? I told you I don't have. There isn't going to be no after. This is it. I told you what I had. What are you talking about after? No, in order to receive from God, you got to walk by faith. Yes. Without faith, it's impossible. And after, he said, after you do what I tell you, the Lord told me to tell you to do, then make for thee and for thy son. For thus said the Lord God of Israel, the barrel meal shall not waste, Neither should a cool of all fail until the day that the Lord sent his rain upon the earth. I swear that's why the problem was they had a drought, yeah, didn't have no water. And she went, and did. Now I know this is not good English, but what you went and did? I sure wish I could say you went and did. Especially those I'm pastoring. See, that's a certain blessing I can't get to you as your pastor unless you obey God. I don't care how much I pray for you. I don't care how much I preach to you. You're not going to get there unless you obey God. And she went, listen, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. I mean, saying of God. Saying of God. Elijah was God's spokesman. And she and he, oh glory to God, and our house did eat many, not one day, didn't tell us how many, it might have been months, many days, and the barrel of meal waste not, neither did the cool of all fail, according to the word of the Lord which you spake by Elijah. What's the subject? Did you see it in this text?
Yes.
She gave that little on, that little meal of God, and it started feeding her family for many days. And said it couldn't run out. When you hooked up with God, you can't run out. Let me show you something else here while we got this thing stirred up here. It's just 9:42, just a baby. Let me show you something else here. There God took care of a personal thing. And then we've seen God take care of a home with that widow with the creditors. I just want to look at one more tonight. Can we look at one more?
Yes.
I want to show you how God will take care of a business if you turn it over to him. You want me to show you that?
Yes.
Turn to Luke chapter 5. He'll take care of it. And I'll close with that, I believe. I've preached an hour and a half already, right there. How much I've preached? I got 1:38. That's on the second half hour. What? I don't know what you're saying. Talking in tongue. No, he tried to get it to me. I just don't understand what he's saying. I might not want to understand what he's saying. Luke chapter 5. That's enough. Hallelujah. You got to follow the Holy Ghost, you know. That's enough. See, that's me. I want to go on. That's enough. Hallelujah. You got to let that soak what you got there. You got enough to let soak. Try and give you some more, and you're going to mess around both home. Take that what you heard tonight. Yield what you have to God. Yield whatever you have to God. How'd it go?
He'll multiply.
Give God a chance to multiply it for you. Now I know these are mostly believers meeting. Last night I didn't give a chance for bow your head and close your eyes. I know this mostly believers.
Dr. Leroy Thompson is the president and founder of Ever Increasing Word Ministries, an outreach ministry of the Word of Life Christian Center in Darrow, Louisiana. For more information on this dynamic teaching ministry, visit our website at www.eiwm.org. Or you can write Dr. Thompson at P.O. Box 7, Darrow, Louisiana, 70725.